Welcome to the esoteric astrology class today. Previous class, we dealt with the individual's sensitivity towards the environment, his sensitivity towards the plan, the divine plan. Overall, what is sensitivity and how a sadhaka becomes sensitive to his environment, to his own soul, to the monad, to the plan and purpose of the solar system. After discussing those things, today we enter some basic and important factors that govern an individual's consciousness. They do not condition the events of an individual's life, but these planets condition the consciousness of the particular individual. These planets are six in number, and the one is Sun, the second one is Neptune, third is Uranus, fourth Jupiter, fifth is Venus, and the sixth is Mars. All these six planets are called six-pointed star of humanity. These six-pointed star of humanity condition the consciousness of man. Consciousness, as you all know, is the result of the meeting of two things, that is spirit and matter. When spirit meets matter, there emerges consciousness. The body, when it is not pervaded by this spirit, becomes dead. But when a human body is ensouled, it works with some consciousness. Likewise, any particular thing expresses consciousness only when that matter is touched by the spirit. Even a human being, when it is not touched by the spirit, becomes a dead body only. It is called Shavam instead of Shivam. And that consciousness, which is the result of the meeting, merger of this body and spirit, has six potent influences coming from six planets. Sun, first. Sun naturally gives us the pranic energy in the first place and spiritual consciousness on his own plane. And he denotes the second ray called love wisdom. The consciousness which is arose by the influence of the planet Sun on all three planes, that is on the mental plane, on the vital plane, and on the physical plane, we as an individuals get that love and wisdom rays from Sun directly, and accordingly our consciousness develops. Love, as already defined, as already explained, is inclusiveness. Inclusiveness should not be misunderstood as that everybody, all are one, only in the sense that the particular soul or spirit that is being encaged in that particular body is one. Whether it is animal, whether it is tree, whether it is human being, whether it is deva, that spirit is same, which is pervading in the entire universe, called Purusha. Purusha means that magnificent being who is ever present, Sat Chit Ananda. That is one, but bodies are different. Why bodies are different? Every particular body is prepared or is born to perform some duty on this earth. So when we consider the spirit and look into that, it is one everywhere. So there is only one, that is Purusha. But if we see the different, we can differ this tree from other tree. There are so many types of trees. In particular species, that is, suppose we take rose, there are so many varieties. If we take some other lily, so many varieties. In the same, likewise, human beings are varied and they can be grouped as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 rays and 7 energies and 7 types. Likewise, our inclusiveness goes stronger and stronger, deeper and deeper, wider and wider when we come under the influence of the sun. So our Parampooja Gurudev has given, first of all, meditation on sun only, to widen our consciousness, and which gives impetus to our love, wisdom, power through the secondary of the sun. And the other one is Neptune. Neptune gives devotion to a particular ideal, Adarshavantamayana Jivitam, what our Parampooja Gurudev calls. You take one highest goal, which is very high thinking and low living, that is what he says, and your devotion towards a high goal, that means which affects the entire humanity, that is what called devotion by our Guruji. And that power comes through Neptune. If we develop our consciousness in such a way that it includes only highest goals, like our Parampooja Gurudev's life history shows to us, we come under the influence of Neptune. How to come under the influence of a planet is always dependent upon how we think. If we think not in these terms, we do not come under the influence of Sun or Neptune. The other planet is Uranus, who brings to us the seventh ray consciousness or seventh ray influence, which can bring spirit and matter together. It can bridge the gap between spirit and matter. The matter should be completely express the spirit, that is what is the goal of the present age. And this can be done, this can be achieved through the workings of Uranus, who is the prototype of seventh ray influence. Seventh ray is already declared as ceremonial magic or organization. To achieve a particular goal, we should organize in such a way that the goal is achieved smoothly, permanently, successfully. All this can be achieved by Uranus when they are positively received. When they are negatively received, a synthesis, the bringing in to one fold of different types, different races, different people by force is a negative Uranus type, which was worked through Mr. Hitler. Though he tried to bring togetherness, synthesis, it is a negative force that worked through him. But the original, actual positive influence of Uranus comes through so many masters of wisdom, and it brings to light that particular element which is called radioactive element that is present in nature but is also present in our system. The radioactive principle in a particular person is roused, made to awake by the influence of Uranus, which brings matter and spirit together. Matter in a human being's body is situated in Mooladhara, Bhutattva, and the spirit is located in Sahasrara. When these two are meeting, when these two are made to meet, the influence of Uranus one can find. Uranus brings. Why Uranus brings all these things means, when we aspire for the descent of the Lord's grace, when we aspire for the descent of the Lord's power, when we aspire for the Lord's descent of light, when we aspire for the descent of Lord's love, when we aspire for the Lord's descent of harmony, we naturally, either knowingly or unknowingly, are under the influence of Uranus, which brings the power of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the harmony of the Lord, the love and wisdom of the Lord, all are brought by the grace of Uranus, who always covers the Lord. He is called in Sanskrit Varuna. Varuna means it encircles, it ensouls God. So that particular energy which envelops the God, the spirit, is called Uranus, Varuna, and that Varuna energy called Uranus energy flows towards that particular human being who is desirous of knowing the Purusha, the God, the spirit, who is everywhere. I want to know God, I want to realize God, who is everywhere, who is the being, who is the becoming, who is everything, what not everything is Purusha. That what I want to know, that particular spirit of aspiration brings the influence of Uranus to the particular individual, and he is made to realize what is spirit and what is what, and that power of Uranus makes the two to meet, that is spirit in the Sahasrara and matter in the Mooladhara, both will meet, and the God consciousness is being realized, and the same will be put into the benefit of the entire humanity. And next comes Jupiter. Jupiter is also a planet which brings a secondary influence, more of wisdom than of love. He brings the wisdom aspect. He brings to a particular person vastness. Vastness means I am limited to this body is narrowness. I am living in the entire universe. It is that vastness which Jupiter brings, that knowledge, that awareness, that expansion of consciousness Jupiter gives. Jupiter gives through through wisdom. He gives more of wisdom than of love. Next comes Venus. Venus brings the fifth ray influence to the person who is aspiring to realize himself and realize God. Fifth ray, as we all know, is the ray of science, scientific advancement. What is scientific advancement that can be achieved by a particular individual in spiritualism? This what says by our Parampuji Gurudev. Spiritualism on the basis of scientific thought. The basis of the scientific development is always on the foundation of the spiritual rules only. All discoveries of science are done only on the vital body, vital plane, not vital body, it is on the vital plane. why it is on the vital plane. A person goes on thinking about something, 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 and afterwards he is tired. He is tired of thinking and he just goes on into another consciousness, which is called sleep, where he gets a hint how to make it, how to get it. All scientific discoveries from the atom, how it is, the shape of the atom, how it works, the electrons, everything. That person just simply dreams what is that, and he comes back into the awakened state, a waking state, and he just simply notes down it, and he tries to correlate what is seen in the astral plane and what is actually working. All advancement in science is dependent more on the vital plane. First comes mental plane, where he thinks, thinks, thinks. Next he sleeps and goes to another plane, where it is shown to him by masters of wisdom. They are, because they are simply trying to elevate the difficulties of the mankind, whether it is a sewing machine, whether it is a structure of the atom, whether it is so many, all scientific discoveries are like that. And after Venus, that is scientific thinking. By scientific thinking is also included in this seven rays of wisdom. What is actually science? Science is nothing but the laws that are always present in the nature. We call it Veda. All natural laws are present in the universe, in the Paramakasha, and can be contacted, can be known when that particular individual is interested in those things. Suppose we start doing yajna. Parampuja Gurudev says you have to bring not agni but yajna agni. What he is actually intended to tell to us, yajna agni, is it different from agni? Or agni and yajna agni both are one and the same? If both are one and the same, why he uses a term yajna agni? Agni is a term which denotes general that flame only. But when it denotes yajna agni, there is a particular quality in the agni which is used for offering to the gods. That particular agni is called yajna agni. Before we try to understand yajna agni, all those who are hearing this particular lecture pretty well know that yajna is this and agni is this. And when agni is used for the purpose of conducting yajna, it is called yajna agni. When it is used for any other purpose, it is not called yajna agni. And you may question me, when we invoke fire god in the Havana Kundi, naturally it is only yajna agni, not other agni. Definitely it is yajna agni. And before that also, what is not, we should not confuse ourselves that we are not bringing yajna agni. But he particularly points out that yajna agni you have to bring in, means when we lit the fire in the Havana Kundi, we should know that we are bringing yajna agni. Before we lit the fire, when we are uttering the particular mantra to invoke the fire god, we should realize in our minds that it is that type of agni which is being brought into this particular Havana Kunda, that it is yajna agni. without that particular intention, though we chant that mantra, though we chant anything other than that also, even Agni Sukta, if we have not that mental stature before or during the performance of that particular lighting of fire there, it cannot be called yajna, though it is used for yajna. That is that means Venus, the Lord of Yuktare, is the custodian of a particular individual's grasping of the science. That is particular individual's grasping capacity of the Veda which is present in the universe. And after Venus comes Mars. Mars denotes action, and he is also in one way represents sixth ray power of devotion. Devotion to a particular thing only. He do not accept two, only one. In this particular context, we can say that he is very much he is very much one-sided, we can say. He never admits the other's ideas. He just simply Vera Saiva, Vera Vaishnava, like that. He, Mars gives that. All these put together conditions the consciousness of man. If we come under sun, it is one thing. If you come under Neptune, it is one thing. If we come under Uranus, some different consciousness. Like that, Jupiter, Venus and Mars. Initially, every person is influenced by Mars because everybody feels that he is capable of handling his own life events, his own consciousness, his own everything he can do on his own. That is Mars. Slowly he realizes that he cannot do on his own, but something is higher which is working through this entire system, and he submits to the higher self slowly and he develops. Before a person realizes all these things and takes Diksha, takes initiation, he should have three qualities. I want to repeat this again because there is one particular important thing is, whether we take initiation or not, whether we are treading the path, whether we are disciples of a particular masters of wisdom or not, our consciousness of any particular individual is always conditioned by all these six planets. Whether we come under all these planets or one or two or three, that is different. But any person, whether he is a common man, whether he is a probationary one, that means he is not taken to the path of discipleship, just entered probationary path. Next comes discipleship, next comes initiation, next comes master, next comes Mahachoha, like that. So many steps are there. In all these steps, what the consciousness is conditioned by is depicted by all these six planets. So, after knowing all these things about our conditions, conditioning our consciousness by these planets, we should also know that there are three important events, three important things that one should have if he wants to take Diksha, if he wants to take initiation from the masters of wisdom. That is, one is fully self-conscious. The particular individual who wants to take discipleship should have fully self-consciousness developed. What is that? We later, after some time, we take each and everything, and before that I just give all these three. Second is mystically oriented. Third one is occultly developed. So, if anybody wants to be a disciple of a particular master's wisdom, he should have fully self-consciousness, mystically oriented and occultly developed. What is self-consciousness? Self-consciousness means I want to achieve this one, I want to have that desire fulfilled, I want to be a leader, I want to be so many. That is not the thing that is to be considered. But what is self-consciousness is, I am a soul having a body, whether it is developed by the soul, which is developed by the soul. I am a soul, I am not this body. Self-consciousness means the body is not me. I am the soul and I am having the body. I am having a scooter, I am the owner. I ride on the vehicle. Like that, the body is mine and I use it as a vehicle for my activities. That is self-consciousness. I am a soul having a body which is developed by the soul. The body is also to be developed by him only. The body is given by the parents. The body is made to see like that by the workings of the so many gods who are working in the body. And they are called in different names. Likewise, we have already discussed them. Agnishvartas, Barishishadulu, Barishishadulu, Agnishvartas. So many types of gods who are working in this particular body. And the second one is mystically developed. The first condition is I am not the body, I am a soul. The second condition is mystically developed means, what is mysticism? Mysticism means one should have a vision, pure vision motivated by spirit, spiritual intent. Spiritual intent means one should have that particular sensitivity to contact the plan. See, yes, this is to be achieved, this is to be done. That is mystically developed, mystically oriented. What our Parampooja Gurudev mystically oriented himself? He has a clear vision of the coming of new age. And if we also accept his vision as our vision, if we accept his plan as our own plan, then we need not have any special mystically oriented vision. Mystically oriented. We are already mystically oriented, and what the vision given by, what the vision that is being seen by our Parampooja Gurudev or Master RK is also our vision. So, mystically oriented and able to perceive the uses of inherent sensitivity. Every soul has a sensitiveness to his environment, to the spiritual path, to the God, man, everything, all these things are already discussed in the previous lecture, sensitivity to all these things. So, mystically oriented person sees the vision and he utilizes the sensitivity of the soul to achieve the particular vision. And the third one is occultly developed. Occultly developed means one should be polarized in the mental plane. That means he can utilize his thought power. He can develop thought pictures. He can develop thought images. We should have the capacity to use thoughts as things. That means if we go on thinking one particular aspect, in due course of time, it appears on the physical plane. If we try to acquire a building, if we try to get a house constructed or purchased, we in due course of time get it, because we go on thinking, how to get the plan, how to get the house purchased, or how to get the house constructed, all these things. It is mental activity only. Likewise, when we perceive, when we have that pure vision of the spiritual intent, and we respond with our sensitivity after polarizing ourselves in the mental body, we need not have any desire, we should not have any desire, we should not have any motive, we should not have any ambition in that particular plan. Just we should think and act what best I can do. Here so many pitfalls will come, so many persons fail, because if I do all these things, the master pleases very well, and he just simply likes me more than anybody in the group. That is pride. And if one person thinks that he is the only person who is checking out, who is bringing out the plan of the master, it is also pride on that vital plane. I am the only person who understands the vision of the master, and I am the only person who is spreading the message of the master throughout the width and breadth of the earth. That is another pride. So pride will never pay the required result. It is humility that pays. It is humility. Whatever is given, the path I should do faithfully. Whatever path that is being given by the master to me, that is my area of working, and I should strive to achieve perfection in that particular field. Suppose he assigns you just go on doing IGNAS. Yes, I have to do IGNAS, that's all. Somebody is given to just write all these articles. Yes, he should go on writing articles. But if that person stops doing IGNAS and starts writing articles, and this person starts doing IGNAS, stopping articles, writing articles, both are wrong. Master knows how to develop a particular individual and make him a master like him. A master always tries to make his disciples to be like him. They are also to be raised to that level of masters of wisdom. So he enters the work, different works to different people. And he may also train any person to do all these things also. Just like our Param Pooja Gurudev trained Mr. M.K. Sharma, secretary to our Param Pooja Gurudev, Mahendra Kumar Sharma. He can perform anything in the ashram in Haridwar. Everything he can perform. That is the training he has given to Mr. Mahendra Kumar Sharma, who is by profession an engineer, who resigned his job and got attached to Param Pooja Gurudev in the early 1971, when the Shantikunji is being constructed. And occultly developed means one is mentally paralyzed, next profoundly aware of the realized forces. And after mentally polarizing himself, the particular individual should also have a profound awareness of the realities of forces. What are the forces that are present in the universe? We may not know anything about forces. There are so many forces working on the astral plane, so many forces working on the mental plane called devatas. All the mantras generally goes to that mental plane where devas will be working out the plan of the one Lord, Purusha. So many devas will be working the actual God's plan on their own plane, and they also are trying to achieve that goal Likewise, we also try to achieve the goal by fulfilling our path with self-forgetfulness, formlessness and right speech. In this particular context, we should know when occultly developed means a particular individual, we should know what are the forces that are working in the universe along with the man. Here comes the importance of our relationship towards gods. Gods and humanity should cooperate. In Bhagavad Gita, Paramatma Sri Krishna says, Parasparam Bhavayantaha. Devas are created. Human beings are created. Parasparam Bhavayantaha. For that mutual understanding, mutual cooperation, there is one particular thing is given, that is called Yajna. Through this Yajna, you contact, you pacify, you fulfill the requirements of Devas, and in turn they will fulfill your requirements. That is given. Through Yajna, we have to contact gods. Through Yajna, we have to satisfy their needs. Devas will please. Devas will be pleased only with our intentions, not our offerings. Our offerings will go carrying our intentions to that particular god. If we do Yajna towards Gayatri Mata, if we give some if we give so many ahutis towards Ganapati, towards Vishnu, towards Saraswati, towards Agni, towards Varuna, towards Yama, towards Navagrahas, towards Surya, like that, that Havana Samagri will take our intentions to that plane of consciousness and delivers there our intentions, our wishes, our intentions of goodwill to the entire creation. Likewise, the devas are pleased and in turn they will shower their blessings. So all these things are needed for a person to take initiation. And if he performs all these things and slowly by day, slowly he progresses towards that where he also becomes a master of wisdom. Then he takes the fifth initiation. All these three are needed for a person to take third initiation and afterwards. When a person completes these three, that is, one is fully self-consciousness, second is mystically oriented, third is occultly developed, then this particular formation leads to the free and beautiful stage, which is without any glamour, which is without any illusions. Generally, there are so many illusions and so many glamorous things, both in the physical field as well as in the spiritual field. There are so many glamours in the physical plane. Likewise, there are so many glamours and illusions also in the spiritual field also. We can understand this by reading a book called Pride and Prejudice. If anybody of you can get this book, please go through and find out what is written in that, Pride and Prejudice. So, a person who is free from glamour, a person who is free from illusions, is governed by the physical self and the Neptune and Uranus. Physical sun in the sense, he gives the secondary love wisdom, and a Leo person is always having a discipline which is self-imposed. Suppose a person born in August 15th, July 21st to August 20th, which is ruled by Sun, that is Leo sign, or a person who is having his ascendant in Leo, is always a person who is not disciplined by others. He has to impose self-discipline, and by self-discipline he slowly grows by step, and this growth is given, this growth is influenced by the secondary power of Sun. Next comes organization, and in this particular organization, which is the power of Uranus, seventh ray, that is rituals also come under the influence of Uranus. By doing all these things, one becomes a true observer. True observer means observer, but what is the real meaning of observer is Parabrahman is the real observer. He is the true Sakshi. He is Sakshi to everything. One can become a Sakshi. That is the influence of Uranus coming to the aid of the particular individual who is already self-conscious, mystically oriented, and occultly developed. The third one is Neptune, devotion to a single objective, that is self-realization, or that is any objectives, one-pointed objective, bhakti. All these will happen under the influence of Leo, which is a great sign, and in the month of August, Leo is prevalent, and in the month of August, we receive the energies coming down from Sirius. Sirius, as you all know, is called in Telugu Datta Mandalam, Dattatreya Mandalam. Dattatreya Mandalam means Sirius in English, and we receive that power during the month of August. And what is the particular influence of Sirius to our planet? Our solar logos is having a mind, and that mind is that Sirius. Just like a person is having a mental consciousness, and just like any other person is having that mental consciousness, our solar logos is having his mental consciousness being received from the Sirius. That is the importance of Sirius, and Sirius brings to the earth. One is, it is a great instructor of mankind. Great instructors of mankind come from Sirius. According to our secret doctrine or Master Jwalakul's book, there is only one great person who has come down to the earth from Sirius so far. Next, source of, when that book was written. Next, source of logoic mind. Already you have discussed in few sentences that our solar logos, that is our sun, our solar system, and if we think that our solar system is a person and his mind is Sirius, if we consider our entire solar system as a particular individual, just like any individual human being is having his mind, which is working through the brain, like that our solar system, when we compare it to a particular individual, that particular individual's mind is Sirius, and from Sirius our solar logos receives his thoughts. This is all in regarding the sign Leo, and a few more points are there. If we come under the influence of Sirius, unknowingly we attract dogs around us, because the Sirius is called dog star. Some masters of wisdom keep dogs also around them, because dogs can hear subtle sounds which a person cannot hear. At a particular stage of practice, dogs naturally move around that particular person who is in the process of realizing the powers of Sirius, just like our Shirdi Sai, who is always accompanied by dogs. So there are so many persons, and if anybody is, Lord Dattatreya is also having four dogs around him. If anybody is also practicing those serious energies, he also will attract dogs around him. And in particular place, Master E.K. says, if we chant Lalita Shastranama in one of the Shastranamas, people attract serpents and they will just come down to that particular person and crawl around his neck, entire body, like the Lord Shiva, who is adorned by serpents. That particular individual is also adorned by serpents without his knowledge. They just come to him. All these things are the influences of the first dogs only, influence of the serious dog. And in Leo particularly, pure love without emotion is the only means to attract the person to a proper guru. This is what is required for any person. Emotion means if we are not having any contact, we just drop. That is emotional attachment. So generally in a family, everybody is emotionally attached, not mentally attached. Likewise in any particular society or mission, we find emotionally attached people also to the master. But masters of wisdom will never allow any emotional sensitivity to be touched by any person. They are never residing in the emotional plane or mental plane. They always reside in the buddhi plane, which is a synthetic one. There all are equal to them. There are no person who is dear to him. There is no person who is away from him. Everybody is their own. And the potency of number 5 works through Leo. What is the potency of number 5? Potency of 5 is Gemini and potency of 1 is Leo. Potency of 5 means it resolves so many opposites. If we meditate 5, we can resolve so many opposing qualities. How to meditate number 5? Write a square and put a dot in the center. Write a square, put a dot in the center. Just see that and close the eyes. That's all. Number 5. Number 5, when it works, it removes obstacles, it resolves everything, it gives answers to so many problems. And when the power of 5 is worked out through the power of 1, that is in Leo, we can do so many things. That is what the spiritual astrology says. Through spiritual astrology, Master E.K. says that we can solve the problems if we work number 5 through the power of number 1. What is number 1 and what is number 5? We should understand. Number 1 is, there is only one thing in the entire universe, that is God. What is number 5? There are 5 elements in the universe. There are 5. Who? Bhumi, earth, next water, next fire, next air, next akasha. Only these five. When we meditate on these five, are all working through the particular soul, which is an image of the God, we can solve the problem. How? Are there any examples? I tried so many times and it is always successful. It is just think of the problem as solved. Put the problem and say that it is solved, because the power of one spirit is working through the akasha, working through the air, working through the fire, working through the water, working through the earth, and making the obstacles dissolved, making the particular point in question is get answered. How? Again, just we should have some idea of all these five elements. Again, some of our organs are controlled by earth, some of our organs are controlled by water, some are controlled by fire, some are controlled by air, some are controlled by ether. All these we should know, and through all this the only one spirit is working. And if we just meditate for a few minutes, the obstacle will be removed. In the next class, almost as per Master Jwalapur's version, Leo is over, but through this book, which is given by Master E.K., Spiritual Astrology, there are some more points that can be discussed. And one particular thing is, if any person who is born under the sun sign Leo, or who is born under the rising sign like Leo, he can meditate on that particular incident which is called Hiranyakashipu Vadha, Narasimha Avataram. If he just goes on reading it slowly, his animal instincts, animal attitudes, in the animal qualities in the particular individual will be get nullified and will be raised to the particular person called Nara Deha with lion's face, that is Leo and Aquarius. This is, and so many other things we will discuss in the next class. प्रजाभ्य परिपालयन्त्रं राज्येन मार्गेण महिमहिषा ब्राह्मणेभ्य शुभमस्तु नित्यं लोकाः संस्थाः सुखिनो भवन्तु. मे द पवर् आफ् वन् लैफ् फोर् थ्रू द ग्रूप् आफ् आल् वन् सर्व मे द लव् आफ् वन् सोल् कैरेक्टरैज् द लैफ्स् आफ् आल् दोस् हू सीक् टु क्रियेट् द ग्रेट् वन्स्. मे ऐ फुल्फिल् मै पार्ट् इन् द वन् लैफ् वित् सेल्फ़् फर्गेट्फुल्नेस् होम्लेस्नेस् एण्ड् राइट् स्पीच्. ऐ आम् कनेक्टेड् वित् आल् द ग्रूप् आफ् वर्ल्ड् सर्वर्स् एण्ड् द मास्टर्स् स्टाण्डिङ्ग् बिहैण्ड्. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.